You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Kings 17 chapter. We're going to see where we get with this. I was teaching a series on the church, pretty well wrapped that up, taught for several weeks on that on Sunday mornings. On Wednesday night, we're teaching a series on the baptism of the Holy Ghost and gifts of the Spirit. We've taught on the baptism of the Holy Ghost for several weeks. We got into the gifts of the Spirit this last Wednesday night. And actually, we've had several people baptized with the Holy Ghost. We've had people water baptized even. In fact, we got another water baptism this Wednesday night. Brianna is going to be baptized. Baptized two last week and four. Three? Yeah, three. That's right. Three last week and then four 2 weeks before that. So, hallelujah. So we're excited about that. And Bren and I are flying out Thursday. We're going to go minister to the island of Hawaii. I am preaching while I'm there, okay? I just want you to know that. So I thought about, Susie's parents going to Micronesia Islands. We're going to the Big Island. We're going to minister in Kona Christian Church. That's where we go minister. So, and while we're there, we might do a little picture taking and a little vacation for over there. Well, I've lost you there. Let me move on rather quickly. So, y'all be praying for us. Tough job. Somebody's got to do it, okay? So, on this mission trip we're going on, I want y'all to be sure to stay, back us in prayer. Hallelujah. You know, I heard, I keep talking about Brother Osteen today. I don't know why, but Brother Osteen preached a sermon called A Place Called There. In fact, he wrote a little mini book on it. You might remember that. Place called there, and I thought it was just so awesome. And it really was based on this passage of scripture in 1 Kings 17 chapter. And so what I did, I just kind of read through there and put my own little twist on it and owned it. Now it's mine. And I call it, Are We There Yet? Are you with me? Well, I learned this from Brother Osteen. He said that I always quote, when I quote something, I give the credit to the quote the first time I quote it. I'll say so-and-so says, and then I quote the second time, I said, like they always say, and then the third time I said, like I always say. You know, you can own it after several times. But I think this speaks to all of us, this past scripture, in the sense that, you know, here was Elijah who had to get in the place that God wanted him to be before God could provide and bless him. I think we miss that point sometimes. We're waiting on God to do something, and God's waiting on us to get in position. Isn't that right? I mean, sometimes there's some things that are not right in our lives. It's not a geographical place. It's a spiritual place. It's getting right with the Lord. It's making sure our heart's right, making sure our motives are right, and so on and so forth. Not to get just real weird and, you know, unattainable, because it's not that complicated. It's pretty simple, really. You know, if you've done something wrong, repent of it. That's real simple. And if you know you're supposed to be doing something, go do it. It's not real complicated. We make the will of God a complicated thing, and it's not. It's not afar off that you'd send somebody to go get it. It's not over the mountain that you'd send someone to go get it. It's near you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. It is the word of faith which we preach. Just do it. Amen? Do what you know to do. Live right. Live holy. Pray for people. Live for God. Get in church. Serve God. It's not deep. It's not complicated. But if you get in position, then God's obviously able to bless you. Kind of reminds me of the Cowboy game the other night. No, I saw some interviews. I thought this was pretty interesting. Just this week, they were talking about and commenting on the Cowboy game, which was over the top. They were just really good. I mean, they just did great. And they beat the Giants. Hallelujah. Okay, so if you're not into Cowboys, it wouldn't mean a thing to you, but that's big. That's big. They just happened to win the Super Bowl last year, the Giants did. So anyway, thought I'd throw that out. But one of the stars in it was a guy named a receiver, Ogletree, okay? And they were talking about him, and this is a big debate. He was going to be third receiver, third in line, so on and so forth. And Ogletree stepped up to the plate. They said that he really, you know, I'm using baseball terms, metaphors, and football. But he stepped up to the plate. And what they were saying was real simple. I thought it was really neat. This will tie into what I'm trying to say here. They said it looked like Ogletree wasn't even looking at Tony Romo till he got where he's supposed to be, and he turned around, and the ball was there. And it's something they had practiced over and over and over and again. The quarterback and the receiver and the quarterback, Tony Romo, had told Ogletree, look, you run this route, you run this pattern, you get where I want you to be, and that ball will be there. And a lot of receivers will spend their time looking at the quarterback when they just need to go where they're supposed to go and run the route and get in position. It'll be there, and everything works out. It'll be fine if you're in position to receive. I just thought that was really good. It just came alive to me. I was thinking about how often we don't run the route, how often we don't get, we're not following the pattern, and we're kind of looking to God to do something, but we're not where He's wanting us to be. We're not over there in that place He told us to go to. Or we're not doing that thing He told us to do. And so the ball, He's throwing the ball, but He's throwing it where He told us to go, and we're not there. So that wouldn't be God's fault. That wouldn't be Tony Romo's fault if Ogletree didn't catch the ball and it went here and he was over there. It would be Ogletree's fault not getting in position. And I think many times it's been said this way too, that, you know, God gets a bad rap because oftentimes we'll blame God for not following through with His word or God not blessing us or whatever. And actually He did bless and He did follow through. We just dropped the ball. Because we weren't looking right place, we weren't in the right place. And you know, the bad thing about it in football, it's like this, when a quarterback throws a ball where he's supposed to throw it, and sometimes hits the guy right in the chest and he drops the ball, the bad thing, that goes down on his stats as an incomplete pass. And it makes the quarterback look bad when he did everything he's supposed to do. If you're just looking at figures, he's got this many incomplete passes. But there was a reason that was incomplete, because the receiver dropped it. I think because we drop it and we miss this point many times. It's not all about us, incidentally. It's not all about us just receiving the ball or the blessing or the answered prayer. That's important. God wants to bless us, no question. But if we don't receive and we're not where we're supposed to be, it makes God look bad. Oh, I know somebody prayed and didn't get anything. I know someone tried that and it didn't work. Well, now God didn't miss it. He never misses. He's more accurate than Tony Romo. And Tony Romo was pretty accurate if you want to look at the stats. But here's God. He never misses it. But you know what? We're not where we're supposed to be sometimes. And that's the story that you see here. And we need to be keep asking ourselves. We need to keep asking ourselves, just like a little child gets in the car when you're going somewhere. Daddy, are we there yet? Mama, are we there yet? Are we there? No, we're just about to get out of the driveway, and we will be there just a little bit. We're out of the driveway now. Are we there yet? No, we're not there yet. See, there's an anticipation in a child, and except we come as a little child, we'll never enter the kingdom. That's what God says. We've got to be simple. We have to trust God that He is going to do what He says. That He says, if we get there, this is going to happen. Hey, is it happening yet? Is it happening? Because I'm looking. I'm like a child. I know Daddy doesn't lie. It's going to happen. Are we there yet? Are you with me? That's good. I think that's real important to have that anticipation and that excitement and wonder that a child has. Sometimes we lose that as we get older. And even in God, we can do that if we're not careful. We can just serve God and forget the spectacular, the supernatural, the wonder of miracles and answered prayer. We take so many things for granted. And we don't have that passion, that excitement that we used to have when we were a little child. I'd never want to lose that. I don't ever want to lose that. Every day is a miracle. Every day I get up and breathe is a miracle. Every day I have is another day to bless the Lord. As Andre Crouch used to sing, you know, this is another day that the Lord has blessed me. Y'all remember that song? Another day, another day, another day. You don't remember that song? It's another day that the Lord has blessed me. Y'all don't remember Andre Crouch, y'all? Oh, come on. It was just 40 years ago. Whatever. Oh, you know, he played that piano. You remember that song? I've sang it here before. Well, he healed my body and he told me to run on. Told me to run on. He healed my body and he told me to run on. And then he jumps up and runs off, woo, you know, down the stage. Can't nobody do me like Jesus, do me like the Lord. Well, there can't nobody. Okay, well, anyway, he sang the song, this is another day, that the Lord has blessed me. He blessed me, he blessed me, he blessed me. Every day's a miracle. Every day is a miracle. Every day is a miracle. It's another day the Lord has blessed us. It's another day He's given us to serve Him. It's another day we have to believe Him. Another day we have to trust Him. It's not over yet. Hallelujah. Don't you quit. Don't you give up. Don't you stop. Don't you throw the towel in. No, it's not over. You know, speaking of football, I remember Tom Landry said he never lost a game. They just run out of time. I think he did. He said that. You know, they just played a little long, we'd won it. Never really lost it. He just ran out of time. They only had four quarters, you know. So here's the account. Y'all found it, 1 Kings 17 chapter. Give you plenty of time to get there. This is an amazing account. Elijah the Tishbite. It says here in the first verse, Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, 1 Kings 17, verse 1, said to Ahab, who was king at that time, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, and there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." I thought that's awesome. Actually, he knew the word. Elijah knew that if they didn't serve God and they served pagan gods and worshiped Baal, that God would withhold the rain. So as a prophet, he was just standing up proclaiming what God said, obviously supernaturally too, but he understood the principles that if you don't serve God and if you're going to serve Baal, you're not going to get the blessing. Pure and simple. And so he declared a drought, which really was prophesied even in the word that would happen. You know, if you go after other gods and you don't serve me, all these curses will come upon you. Be cursed in the city, cursed in the field, cursed for your body, for your kind, flocks, your sheep, cursed coming in, going out, and the rain will withhold, the heavens will withhold the rain from your land at its season. I mean, that's Deuteronomy 28 chapter, the 14th through the end of the chapter. And so he told him, he says, there'll be no dew nor be no rain except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it shall be that when you drink, that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." Everybody say there. I like that. I've commanded the ravens to supernatural provision, no question about it, but it didn't happen until he got there. And that's a good question. Are we there yet? Are we there? Are we there where we're supposed to be? Are we there where God wants us to be? Have we done what God told us to do? Are we really trusting him? Are we really serving him? Are we really putting our faith in him? Are we there? Are we running a pattern? Are we in that route? Are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? If we are, God will feed us there. There. There where God wants us to be. You say, "Well, I'm just looking for God." Well, he's looking for you. Because he has an appointment for you. He has a place for you. He has an assignment for you, as it were. And it's simple for all of us. Some of us have specific assignments. But generally, we're all supposed to love. We're all supposed to forgive. We're all supposed to live holy. We're all supposed to trust him. We're all supposed to be a light. That's common to all of us. And so we're looking for him. But see, he's looking for us to get there. Amen. And he's patient with us. I mean, we don't have to be perfect to get blessed. If you just make the effort, I mean, he'll adjust, as it were, work with us, as it were. I mean, there are no supermen and superwomen here. There's only one superstar. His name's Jesus. Amen. But he says, if you'll go there, it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. I didn't command the ravens to feed you over here. I didn't command the ravens to feed you over here. I said there. If you'll go there, that's where I'll feed you. Well, God will just bless me. Well, no, he won't just bless you anywhere if you do anything. If you obey him, he'll bless you. If you trust him, he'll bless you. Are you with me? If you serve him, he'll bless you. Well, it doesn't matter what I do. Well, that's foreign to the scripture, because the Bible's real plain. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Hello. And I'm not hitting anybody on the head. I got no stones to throw. I haven't been perfect either. Usually when I drop the ball, it's because I dropped it. God didn't drop it. Sometimes he hit me right in the chest with it. I just dropped it. I wasn't, you know, where I was supposed to be. I wasn't in position. You know, you got to get in position to receive. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So they had to have, their position was to stand. Well, if they quit standing, well, they wouldn't have seen the salvation of the Lord. See, all through the scripture, there's instruction. And as you obey that instruction, wow, you get in line with God and he begins to move. And the blessing starts coming because we're out of position. Listen, if you feel like God's a million miles away, if you feel that the presence and the power of God is distant and you're in a dry land. Listen, God had moved. You've moved. I've moved. Let's just get back into the basics again, amen? Because God's wanting to help us, and he's wanting to bless us. You know, when bad things happen to people, it's not that God's doing anything to them. It's that God's doing nothing. Oh, yeah, chew on that one a while. I mean, we like to blame God when bad things happen. We like to call it hurricanes and tornadoes and all those acts of God. But they're not really acts of God. They're God's absence, not his presence. They're where God's not involved, not where he is involved. He says, if you abandon me, I'll abandon you. Well, when he abandons us, then there's no protection. When he abandons us, there's no blessing. But why did he abandon us? He didn't abandon us. We abandoned him. We left him. We went after other gods and so on and so forth. You see that all through the scripture, and we often turn around and blame God for doing this and doing that. And no. Actually, if you just take it in context of the scripture, Jesus is the best context I know of. How about you? You know anybody with more context than Jesus? I don't know anybody that would be closer to being right about God and showing us God than Jesus, because he wasn't just a prophet. He wasn't just a good man. He was more than that. He was God. He was Emmanuel, God with us. And he said, he that's seen me, seen the Father. And if you see God, Jesus, you don't see him doing the things we often blame God for doing. He didn't start storms. He stopped one. He didn't make people blind. He healed blind people. He didn't cripple people's legs. He healed their legs. He didn't make people poor. He gave to the poor. Hello. Woo. But it's people got in position. People, you know, most of the movement you see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's not a movement of Jesus to people as much as it is people to Jesus. It says they came after him. They took the roof off. They came behind and grabbed his garment. They sought to touch him, and as many as touched him were made whole. There's a movement of people to God trying to get in position. They're trying to get in position. He's there. He's a healer. He's a lover of humanity. He's the love of our soul and the fairest of 10,000, praise God. I mean, he's the miracle worker. He is the forgiver and the peace giver and the life giver. He's all that. But see, we're out of position. If we can just get to him, we can get our miracle. That's what that woman with the issue of blood said in Mark 5. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And she came through the press and grabbed a hold of his garment. Immediately, virtue came out of him, power, and came into her, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. Woo! Amen. Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? Isn't that something? Who touched me? Wow, we're looking for a touch from God. He's looking for a touch from us. See, he's looking for us to get where we're supposed to be because he's wanting to bless us. But God can't violate who he is. He can't violate his goodness. He can't violate, you know, he can't bless sin. He can't bless unbelief. He can't bless rebellion. But, you know, if we'll come to him, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Woo! That's good stuff. Amen? So he told Elijah, supernatural, this place called there. He said, it shall be, you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. This is what we need to do, according to the word of the Lord. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. He stayed there until God told him to go somewhere else. Are you with me? He kept doing it until God told him to do something else. You know, I know God called me to pastor International Outreach Church back in 1982. We started August the 1st, 1982. Actually had a few seminars and then, you know, got people together. Then we started the church, and ladies had prayed for 10 years for a church like this. Dr. Galloway had Bible studies for 2 or 3 years in his home. You know, a lot had taken place, but then the timing came together, and God called me to come and pastor and start the church. We all, you know, those people that were together started at that time, and I was the leader, as it were. But it was a consummation of a lot of believing, a lot of praying, a lot of work, a lot of things that people did. But then, you know, people say, well, why'd you go to Willis Point, Texas? Because God told me to. Hello. This is my there. Willis Point is my there. And when I got there, God blessed me when I got there. And you say, well, why are you still there? Because he hadn't told me to go anywhere else. And I came because God told me to come here, and I can't leave really till he tells me to go. Are you out there? Well, yeah, but what if it gets tough? Well, he didn't say go till it's easy or go till it's tough or go as long as there's money, and if there's not, just leave, take off, go somewhere else. No, he said, you go till I tell you to go somewhere else. So I heard God tell me to come to Wills Point, Texas. I've never heard him tell me to leave. And we've had good times and bad times. We've had tough times and easy times. We've had high cotton and no cotton. High cotton, low cotton, no cotton. You know, but we're picking high cotton now, hallelujah. Because we stayed with it, and are, you know, I'm talking to all of us together. But the bottom line is, you just have to stay where God tells you to go, because there is where he blesses you. Woo! Amen? Okay. So, he went there, he did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. I'm telling you, we need to get a hold of this. This will cause our finances to go up, the money we're spending on food bank. If we had some ravens come bringing the food every week, this would be awesome. Anyway, we do have some ravens bringing some food. We have supernatural supply sometimes. It's amazing the donations that we get, food donations, different places, and so on and so forth. We still buy a lot of food. But isn't this amazing? This wasn't just food. This wasn't just provision in that sense. It was financial. He didn't have to pay for it. Hello? And what supernatural faith on his part. I mean, my kids, you know, some of my kids were so picky. Not Amanda. She did anything we put on the table. In fact, you'd have to draw your hands back real fast, you know, because, okay. But some of my kids are a little picky about their food. Well, how would you like to have a bird standing in front of you with a piece of meat? Just say it. But anyway. But he had faith. He knew that God knew what he was doing. It was safe to eat, and he ate. Okay. Better quit all that. It's getting too close to lunch to even talk like that. But so he ate food, and he had bread, and he had food supernaturally. It says the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And now listen, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, he didn't just leave because the brook dried up. He waited for the word of the Lord. Because the brook could have started flowing again. Are you out there? Well, things are getting bad here. I'm going to go somewhere else. You know, that's how you start church hopping. You know, not there, sometimes there's a legitimate reason for leading churches. Stay with me. I understand that. But I think a lot of cases we just leave because we got upset or we didn't like the carpet or the pastor didn't shake her hand or something. You know, I don't know. Sometimes they're not legitimate. It's kind of like that guy on that island. You know, he had three huts, and they finally rescued him. He'd been there for like 10 years, and he was so excited, and they came and got him. And he's all by himself on this island. And they asked him, I said, well, man, this is awesome. You got three huts here. What's this? And he says, well, he's that middle one's my house. And he said, well, what's that one on the left? He said, oh, that's my church. That's the church I go to. And he said, what's the hut on the right? And he said, well, that was the other church. I used to go there, but I didn't like it. I quit. Okay. But he didn't leave till God told him to. Amen? It says, then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise and go to Zarephath, the widow of Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Everybody say there.
There.
See, God always provides in the place called there. The question we need to always ask ourselves is, are we there? Are we there yet? Amen? I don't know. Sometimes I wonder, I may not be where I'm supposed to be. Not just geographically, but spiritually. You know, mentally. That's a big problem. Sometimes we're just not mentally there. I've talked to people that just were not mentally there. You couldn't help them. You could pray with them. You could tell them all the right stuff, you know, and tell them what they need to say and do, but they just weren't getting it because they just weren't there. Isn't that right? Jesus even said, he said, I got many things I'd like to tell you, but you're just not able to bear it yet. In other words, you're not there yet. Paul even said the same thing. He said, I had to use milk instead of meat because you're just not mature. You're just not there. Isn't that amazing that there was revelations that Paul wanted to share, but they weren't there. And I think sometimes we're just not there. See, I can't change everybody else. And I sure can't change God. God won't change. But I can change me. Isn't that right? I mean, I can't rule over everybody. I can rule me in the sense of take rule over my spirit. I know God's over me, but the Bible talks about ruling your spirit. You're better than he that takes a city if you rule your own spirit. I can make adjustments in me. I can't make everybody else talk right, but I can start talking right. I can't make everybody else live right, but I can live right. Amen? I can't solve everybody else's problem, but you know what? I can make steps in my own life to get in position, to get to that place called there, where the ravens feed me and the widow of Zarephath feeds me. Hallelujah. Right now I'm getting fed pretty good. Brenna's a great cook. But notice how contingent everything was on where Elijah was. All these blessings, all this supernatural provision had everything to do with positionally where Elijah was. Man, that speaks volumes to us, doesn't it, really? I mean, and also it's attainable. See, it's not a matter of, you know, well, I couldn't do what someone else does. Well, you're not somebody else. You're you. God's not asking you to be where someone else is. God's asking you to be where he wants you to be. You say, yeah, but I'm just starting out in this thing, or I'm brand new to this. Well, just be where you are. Be where God's telling you to be right now. Start somewhere. Amen? And quit looking at everybody else. They that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. But every one of us, God loves us all, and he knows exactly where we are. He knows exactly, you know, what our situation is. He's just asking us individually work on this. Maybe there's 500 things that you need to overcome in your life. I don't know. Well, take the one thing and the one thing that's prevalent, the one thing that keeps coming up when you pray, the one thing that you're convicted about, the one thing God keeps dealing with you about, and work on that one thing. Get that taken care of and we'll go for the next one. I mean, I've always held this contention. If you've got 100 coyotes attacking your house, shoot the one on the front porch first. Are you out there? Take care of the most prominent, prevalent thing and just little by little work on those things in your life. And as you're getting there. I'm getting there. Amen? I'm getting there. And I am there in some areas. And to that degree that I'm there, I'm blessed. Hallelujah. Well, I am blessed, but I mean, I'm receiving the blessing. I'm catching the football. I got my hands out there. I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm getting it. Woo! Well, the story goes on. Is this helping you?
Yes.
Well, you need to tell your face. It says here, I'm a nice guy. Come on, you know I'm just kidding with you. Just... But if you'd amen a little bit, it would help me a little bit. I just say it. So he says, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. It's an amazing story here. And as she was going to get it, he called her and said, bring me also a morsel of food or bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself or for my son, that we may eat it and die. I'm thinking, if I'm Elijah, God, what have you got me into? You told me to go there, and I am there. And I am wishing I was somewhere else. This is where you told me to go. No, that's not what he said, because he knew he was where he was supposed to be. And even though it didn't look right, and even looked like everything was falling apart, this is where God told him to be. I've been there. Have you been there? I've been there where I knew I was where I was supposed to be, but it didn't look right. It sure wasn't working right. But I wasn't fixing to leave because this is where I'm supposed to be. So we got a choice to make. We're going to believe God and stay here and fight life through and say in the end the dream is true. Amen? Or we're just going to jump just as soon as something goes wrong, just jump and go somewhere else and build another hut to go to church in. Or get another man to marry or another woman to marry. Instead of work this thing out. Oh, yeah, now I'm preaching, huh? Yeah, I got you now, didn't I? Yeah, just quit and just start over. No, don't quit and start over. Just because something's going wrong, just because it doesn't look right, doesn't mean you're not where you're supposed to be. If you're doing what God told you to do, you need to stand and believe God. And sometimes there are times that you're going to have to just stand because you know you're there. I know this is where I'm supposed to be. I've told myself that over and over and over. I remember case after case in 30 years. Come on, we've had issues in 30 years. In the church, everybody has. I mean, nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. We've all grown together here. And you know, I remember one lady stood up one time and said, I just want to thank God because I was going to leave the church and God wouldn't let me do it. And I said, amen, sister. I was going to do the same thing. God wouldn't let me leave either. Because we're all in this together. I mean, I go through the same things you go through. Are you with me? You know, I've had those feelings, but I can't do that. I can't leave. God told me to come here and God hadn't told me to leave. But I remember, you know, several times problems would come up and I didn't feel like I was up to the task. Who does? Come on, man. You know, if things happen in life, you never feel capable all the time. You just plow through. You just do what you're supposed to do. You know, and everybody experiences fear. Everybody experiences inferiority. Everybody feels intimidated from time to time, especially in a new task or a crisis or a problem. But you know what? You're it. Tag, you're it. You got to stand there and do it and go through it, and this will pass. It will pass. And there's lots of times I've prayed. I said, God, you know, this is going on, and that's going on in the church, and I don't know what to do. You said, if I ask you, you give me wisdom. If I ask in faith, so here I am. I'm asking you for wisdom. You said you establish my thoughts if aroma works upon you, and Proverbs 16:3, and I'm doing that. And you said that if I trust you with all my heart and lean not to my own understanding, acknowledge you in all my ways, you direct my path. So here I am. I just want to remind you, God, this is not my idea to come up here. This is your idea. And so this really isn't my problem. This is your problem. So when you get it figured out, let me know. I'm going back to sleep. That's tough, but I've learned to do that. That's not arrogance. That is knowing that I'm where I'm supposed to be. God's never told me to leave. This was not my idea to come up here. It was not my idea to be a pastor. Are you with me? I was perfectly happy just being saved and telling people about Jesus, but he called me to teach and he called me to pastor, and I didn't call myself. Are you with me? So I have to trust him and I have to learn to trust him. So when things look like they're too big for me, and they often are, and when it looks like I'm not capable and in the natural I'm not, I have to remind myself that this is God's deal, not my deal. He told me to do this. He'll provide. He'll make a way. I just got to stand. Isn't that right? And same thing with marriage. Same thing with raising children. Same thing with business. Same thing living the life. Come on. If you're doing what you're supposed to do, are you obeying God? Well, tough times are going to happen. Attacks are going to come and go. But the blessing of God and the prosperity of God will come if you don't quit. If you stay there. Sometimes we have to get there, and sometimes we have to stay there. Woo! Man, this is better. Preaching, y'all are amen it. I'm going to have to break into Andre Crouch song, get y'all stirred up, or some other song. Y'all remember that one, You May Be Down Today? My wife and daughter up here going, oh, God, here he goes again. You may be down today, but help is on its way. Dark clouds may dim your sky, but he'll answer you by and by. You make one step, he'll make two. It is amazing what the Lord will do. You know, I've never seen a righteous forsaken, nor his seed out begging for bread. Y'all remember that song? Okay. It's always, yeah, always the young people. Christina's going, no, don't never heard of it. No. Well, do your part. Get where you're supposed to be. Blessings will come. Amen. This is an amazing story. This woman had just confessed she didn't have anything. She just had enough to eat and die that day. And, you know, Elijah says to her, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bother you. I'll go somewhere else. No, he didn't say that. Elijah said to her in the 13th verse, do not fear, go and do as you have said, and make me a small cake from it first, and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. Prophesied to her. But she had to make a sacrifice. She had to make an offering. She had to put God first in her life. He was where he was supposed to be. Now he was getting her where she was supposed to be. God sent him there, not just for him. He sent him there for her. I like that. I mean, I think that's awesome. And you know what? She did it. She did exactly what he said to do. She got there. She got where she's supposed to be. And the story goes on, and you know exactly what happened. The oil, I mean, it didn't run out. Food didn't run out. And they made it for 3 years. I mean, for years, till the drought was over. It's an amazing story. But it was because everybody got where they were supposed to be. Man, we get to where we're supposed to be. Psalms 133. I'll close this out. This helping you? Psalms 133. I actually used this the other day talking about the church. And I'll try to go through it real fast because it's already about 5 minutes. And Brookshire's is waiting and calling. We ought to get there. Because there's where the cells are. There. You women read those sales papers, and men too, I know. You read those sales papers, and it says, this is on sale, and this is going to be this discounted, and this is going to be free if you buy two of these, and if you buy $10 of this, you get that free. And I'll tell you, but you got to get there to get it. Even though it is written, you still have to get there to get it. And it is written here. But you got to get there to get it. Notice what it says. Just three verses. A song of ascents of David. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Woo, hallelujah, somebody. Nothing like a church that's in unity. Amen. Nothing like a church that's flowing together. That's loving each other and lifting each other. And nothing better on the face of the earth. Nothing worse than a church that's not in unity. There's no church, there's no hurts like church hurts. But I tell you, there's no blessing like church blessings. There are no helps and lifts and encouragements and giving you a purpose and reason to get up in the morning like having a good church. And everybody loves everybody and prays for everybody and fellowships together. But then you turn that around. What God means for good, the devil loves to turn around for evil. And with our potential to be good and to be a blessing, we have that same potential to be evil and bad. I'll tell you why the devil's so bad and how evil. Because he was so good and he was so great. He was leading the worship in heaven. He was the anointed cherub. But with that potential to do good, if he denied God and forsook God, he became a very, very evil person. Cows can't be real bad or real good. Cats can be a little more bad and a little good. People can be real bad or real good. The higher the potential you have for good, the higher potential you have for evil. Okay, well anyway, when we're in unity, oh, it's good and it's pleasant. Amen? And it says, it is like the precious oil upon the head, the anointing of God, running down the beard of Aaron, the priesthood, the ministry, running down on the edge of the garments, hallelujah. There should be an anointing in the pulpit, there should be an anointing on the ministers, and it should come through, and it should flow, and it should take over and come over the whole church. It's like the dew of Hermon, that's freshness. Church should be a place of freshness. His mercies are new every morning, hallelujah. It should be a place of the anointing where you sense his presence, and a place of freshness where you got a brand new start. I can make it, hallelujah. I can do this. The past is over. This is a new day. And it says, it's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, the church, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. There. Where is that place there where unity is, where the anointing is, where that freshness is, where the Spirit is? There is where God commands the blessing. Now, if you'll get there, you'll get blessed. Amen? If you'll find your Brook Cherith, as it were. Now, don't go running out looking for that widow of Zarephath, okay? Just want to make it real plain. But look for that place in your life that God wants you to be. Get in that position he wants you to be in. Run the route he told you to run. Get in unity. Get under the anointing. Because there, God commands the blessed. and ask yourself, do a little check every once in a while. Are we there yet? Are we there? Am I there? Because if I am, everything else take care of itself. Because there's where Jesus is Lord. There's where God blesses and God supplies and God provides. Woo! Amen?